Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. We've seen a digital transformation taking place in recent years. So has Fiserv. In fact, its 10,000 financial institution customers give the company a unique vantage point to better understand how organizations are most effectively moving from rapid and sometimes reactive deployment of the last 2 years to forward-looking digital strategies that are designed to meet consumers' evolving needs. And while there has certainly been an acceleration of all things digital, what factors can lead to transformation success? We dive into this and more with our guest, Whitney Stewart-Russell, President of Digital Solutions at Fiserv. We're also joined by our own Steve Murphy, Director of Commercial and Enterprise Payments at Mercator Advisory Group. Whitney and Steve, it's great to have you with us today. To start, I'd like to talk about digital transformation. Whitney, how do you define digital transformation and why is it so important now?
Digital transformation is just pivotal for financial institutions today. You can really think about a financial institution's brand really being only as good as their consumer's last recent digital experience with them. You know, for most financial institutions, the pandemic really sped up what it meant for digital within their organizations, whether it was how they were digitizing, how their employees run the organization, or how their front office staff was dealing with customers digitally, or really how they were showing up digitally in their channels, whether it was online banking, mobile banking, or even their channels to acquire customers digitally. We saw many financial institutions that had digital roadmaps that were, you know, maybe 5 years out of thinking that got accelerated into a year and a half, 2 years. Because they really had to change the way they were building relationships, not only with their existing customers, but how they were acquiring new customers as well. So it really is such an important part of their business. You know, almost overnight, it went from branch networks and call centers being pivotal to really digital being the primary channel for consumers. So it means working to improve every digital experience that their consumers have with them, personalizing those interactions so you can actually use digital to build relationships, which is a brave new frontier for many of us in financial services, and really making sure you can use real-time data, real-time payments, automation tools, and AI to build depth in those relationships and really make a meaningful interaction every time that consumer comes to you digitally. It's super important, and I think that on the top of many of our customers' list in terms of priorities for next year, and it has been for the last several years as well.
So, Whitney, it's interesting to hear or get a confirmation that the trends that we've all been hearing about in terms of acceleration of digital through the pandemic has actually happened. Are you finding or have you found that there is any sort of demographic trend in there, or is the sort of the movement to mobile and online for banking across all age groups and so forth?
It is definitely across all age groups, but there's some surprising age groups in there. So I think if you asked me this question back in 2020, you know, I would have told you that we still were struggling with older customers, you know, boomers and older, you know, coming into the digital channel and being preferent to the channel. There was always intermittent usage, but not primacy in that usage. So we're really starting to see overwhelmingly across all demographics that they prefer to use digital, which was not always the case. And it's interesting, mobile is key. We're definitely seeing growth in mobile. But as we've moved through the pandemic, we've actually seen kind of almost a saturation in like general online banking usage. But mobile continues to trend up, not only mobile app usage, but people accessing online banking on a mobile device. So think a mobile browser access to their digital banking solutions. So it's really, you're seeing more people on the move, you're seeing more people using mobile devices, and you're seeing that across the population, which is encouraging so that we can really look to provide a broad breadth of services, advice, and help in those channels.
Yeah, it's interesting that people are comfortable using mobile now. And one of the reasons that I personally moved from online to mobile is because it's just easier to sign on because you just use a thumbprint. I don't have to remember all these passwords. Are you finding any of that or any sort of fraud implications, either good or bad?
Yeah, so I think, you know, fraud and cyber attacks are on the rise since the pandemic. So as we all have, as consumers have moved to digital as our primary channel across lots of different activities in our lives, so have the criminals. So we have to really, you know, continue to up our game at Fiserv. Just about every week and month, we're adding new solutions, new services, you know, really to help protect our customers and their customers. So we definitely are seeing a rise in both fraud and cyber attacks, but we think that's to be expected as the consumers move, the fraudsters and the criminals will move. But it's really important that we double down on protecting, you know, those interactions. So we're leveraging all sorts of new tools and protocols and, you know, the idea of using biometrics or passwordless authentication in these channels really ups the game from a security and cyber prevention perspective. And we think consumers are getting more and more comfortable with that. It's easier, right? Everybody likes it to be easier.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Whitney, in your recent digital engagement intensity study, there were a lot of interesting findings, particularly about the importance of digitally engaged consumers. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So we've done several of these where we go and partner with a financial institution to really dig deep into their client base and understand how their consumers are using the digital channel and not just accessing it to see their balances or to pay a bill, but really how engaged are they? How many times are they coming there? Are they transacting in the channel? Are they looking for new products in the channel? And it's always really interesting work because we not only see how often consumers are using it and how engaged they are, but we also partner with a financial institution to see what that means in terms of the business they're driving for that financial institution. So what does it mean to deposit aggregation? What does it mean to profitability? What does it mean to how many products the consumer has? And this most recent study we did with a large credit union just saw amazing statistics. So I think all these trends to moving consumers to the digital channel and driving engagement are not only paying off from a customer satisfaction perspective, but it's also paying off in terms of how deep you can drive relationships and how satisfied your customers are. So in this study, we saw of those consumers that we considered highly digitally engaged, so using the channel a lot, transacting in the channel, that they were 29% more profitable than those that were not, which is a huge number, so almost 30%. We also saw that they had 48% higher balances. So they were aggregating more deposits with those financial institutions where they were highly engaged. They also were 11% more likely to have a loan. Their loan balances were almost 40% higher than those that were not digitally engaged. And they went to the branch less than 52% compared to a non-digitally engaged consumer. So not only is it driving higher profitability, higher relationship depth, more primacy in the relationship, but it's also driving efficiencies and cost-effective measures. You don't often get those two coupled together at a financial institution. So it's really, you know, a win. Customer satisfaction's higher, value's higher to the financial institution, and really more efficient, not only for the consumer, but the financial institution. So it couldn't be a better place to grow relationships and really be great at service.
You know, it's interesting. If you go back X number of years with banks, one of the early drivers for moving to online and mobile engagement was the need for cost reduction, you know, reducing the number of branches and so forth. But based on what you're saying, there's actually a revenue aspect to this. And that's one of the things that banks have been concerned about because of the rise of fintechs and neobanks and their nifty way of engaging. So what you're saying is, you know, if banks can get a bit more nifty in the way they can engage with customers, they're seeing increased profits. So that's pretty important finding.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a challenging market environment, and finding ways to really delight your customers while helping them financially and providing them the right advice, you know, will pay off. And it'll pay off for the consumer and it'll pay off for their financial institution. And we've been talking a lot to banks and credit unions just about this pivot in the industry in really using the digital channel to grow relationships. How do you use data? How do you use analytics to really not only make smart offers and recommendations to consumers, but how do you do it contextually so it's not out of the blue? How do you know when things are changing in their life, when they need, you know, help or guidance or, you know, some extra statistics on, you know, making a decision, help them out. And if you can provide those contextually, you know, it just provides a multiplier effect to that relationship. But it's new ground and it's new tools and new ways of using data. So I think we're just at the starting point of what this can really be as an industry and what the experiences can grow to be for the consumers. I really think that we're headed to a place where digital engagement and what we can do for consumers in the digital channel is just going to be awesome and really drive, you know, all all sorts of new relationship value for consumers.
So that's interesting. One of the stats that you cited was that the aggregation of more balances over to the bank, which sounds pretty logical. What's interesting to me is the number of loans have increased. Is that because, you know, the consumers weren't aware of all the bank products, and because of more engagement, they're learning more? Or is it more that you're offering up information on loans based on data that you might have accumulated, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both, but I think if you looked back, you know, as recently as a couple of years ago, maybe a year ago, many financial institutions were just not able to do effective targeting and really execute an application for products digitally. Yeah, we had many financial institutions that had to rush to have digital acquisition capabilities. So I think it's a combination of adding functionality so that you can open accounts digitally, but doing it in a way that you're using data to make smart recommendations to consumers that feels helpful. It doesn't feel like you're selling it to them. It feels like, hey, you have this need. Here's what we know about you. Here are three choices that might make sense for you based on what's going on in your life. And that feels a lot more advisory to the consumer. And I think that's the name of the game, is if you can solve a problem for a consumer and you can do it in an advice-oriented way, you're going to be more successful. And I think you'll also see more aggregation. So we know that consumers have, you know, a much higher level of loyalty with their primary financial institution. And if they know the depth of the offering of that financial institution and they have that high trust already, it's going to be a positive relationship both ways.
Yeah, that's interesting, because one of the, you know, the various surveys that you see about advantages that banks may have, the trust factor has been consistently there over the years.
It's interesting. One stat that I often share with customers as we're talking about kind of this change is there was a study in the middle of the pandemic where we started to see millennials in particular, when they were asked, you know, who would they feel most comfortable banking with, it actually swung to fintechs and big tech, where they were like, it's because of the convenience that I as a consumer feel like those big organizations or those technologically driven organizations can provide, I'm willing to, maybe I don't trust them as much, but I'm willing to migrate to them because of the convenience factor. We've actually seen that swing back in our most recent research, where the trust factor associated with banks and credit unions is outweighing, you know, what was perceived as a competitive advantage from a convenience factor. And then we've also seen banks and credit unions make digital investment a top priority. So they're starting to even the playing field. And when you have an even playing field, but you've got the advantage of trust and relationship, financial institutions are winning again.
Yeah, very interesting. Thanks.
Winnie, what do customers with successful digital transformations from community banks and credit unions to large financial institutions have in common?
You know, I think that the most successful banks and credit unions that we work with that are really all in around digital transformation have created a culture where it's just not a mandate that, hey, we're going to do digital, if you will. They've really made it part of their culture, and they've recruited their entire team to think about what this means to do digital transformation. It's a culture of empowerment. So whether you're answering the phone or taking care of a customer in the drive-through or building technology for your digital banking application, you know, everyone's all in and thinking about, how do we make this better? How do we make the experience better for the customer? How do we take steps out of routines? How do we make it faster and easier? We really think that's at the heart of the most successful partner clients that we have today. Also being super clear about what's the need out there? So what are consumers trying to get done? How do we make that simpler for them? And what's the approach that will drive satisfaction in this digital channel? We talked a little bit earlier about mobile first, definitely key. Like the days of going to your mobile banking app and the mobile banking app telling you, sorry, you need to go to online banking to do this, or you need to come into the branch or call the call center. You know, it's just not, consumers won't deal with it anymore. You have to be great in mobile, front to back. And then I think we've really enjoyed the fact that many of our customers that are in it and really want to be great digitally are reaching out to us and others to find trusted partners, to really find different pieces of expertise, to innovate together, to do some trials together, to really make it great and continue to invest in the space.
You know, it's interesting. We had talked about loans earlier and the use of information and so forth to drive more awareness and usage. Are there any other products and/or services that you're finding the online group sort of migrating towards?
You know, we've seen a real increase in consumers using what sometimes masquerades as credit score advice, but we have a product called CreditSense that not only provides your credit score, but it also provides advice about, you know, where your debt is, how you can pay it off, you know, how you can plan appropriately to for a big purchase. So I think planning tools have become big and, you know, kind of credit readiness tools we've seen a big increase in. We've also seen a great increase in text and chat interactions. So when something becomes more complicated or the consumer has, you know, questions that maybe a quick, you know, Q&A don't answer or text doesn't answer, the ability to link with a banker directly and ask some questions in chat on their mobile phone has really grown. So we have a great partner in that space with LinkLive, and they've really provided a great contextual opportunity for consumers to get some real interaction live back and forth with their bank.
Just curious, is that more bots or is that live humans interacting?
It can be both.
Yeah, thanks.
Are there any digital experiences to consider as part of a company's overall digital strategy and offering?
You know, we've talked a lot about origination, so being able to grow relationships in this digital space is key. And as I mentioned earlier, some financial institutions didn't have that capability and really had to rapidly work to get that to be part of their suite. So that's pivotally important. I also think that expectations from consumers around digital payments and real-time payments have just become a must-have. So if you're a financial institution and you don't have an awesome digital payment experience, and that's not easy to find or easy to transact, you really should work on that. I always say in the digital payments part of digital, the more clicks, the worse the experience. So if it's fast, easy, a few clicks to get the job done, you're going to be successful. So I think that's really important. And then we also have seen consumers, and we're seeing this really happen even more aggressively lately, is really looking at how can they develop good habits and have good tools around money management, card management, how much they're spending, where they're spending, what controls they have in place to keep track of their budgets in this challenging economy. So I think using the digital banking suite as a solution to help customers make the most of their money has never been more important.
You know, it's interesting because we've actually written a paper or two on the monetization of real-time payments. And on the consumer side, it's, you know, it's not a clear winner there. But I think what you're saying is that you have to have it regardless. And if you don't, you might not have the opportunity to get all that additional revenue through all this engagement. So it's one of those services that consumers are expecting for free, but it's driving other business. And you might lose that business if you don't have it.
It sure is. And I think if you don't have a critical piece of digital banking like real-time payments, you will have a consumer float to other partners to find it, you know, non-banks, other banks, other credit unions. So you really want to use that channel to develop depth of relationship with your consumers, and a lack of a smooth, easy digital payment experience that's real-time will really put you at a deficit.
Thank you so much, Whitney. So much great data was shared. And for our listeners, there's a link to access the report from Fiserv in the article below on paymentsjournal.com. Whitney and Steve, I want to thank you for your insights and perspective, and hope to have you back on our podcast soon.